Hi, it's Ari. Welcome back to Novum. You've seen advertisements. I don't think I'm going out on a huge limb here. In fact, you've probably seen so many that you consider yourself immune to them. But today, I want to show you a side of advertisements that you might not have considered. You could think of it as a tactic, and it's something that has absolutely fascinated me lately. It's advertisements' use of science fiction. You might have noticed that science fiction-y aesthetics are not bound to the movie theater screen. Commercials show us equally fictional visions of the future. And like science fiction, in many cases, these visions are attempts at large-scale public manipulation. I know this might seem like a big claim, but in this episode, I'm going to try to prove that the combination of science fiction and advertising is potentially a dangerous one. The way I see it, ads use elements of the science fiction genre in essentially one of two ways. Firstly, advertisers utilize science fiction to exercise control over the actual future by visualizing a fictional future that they claim as inevitable. Secondly, advertisers use aspects of science fiction in order to control the narrative of the now and to justify a present which is already under significant surveillance and corporate control. Okay, let's explore the first prong of this. And to do that, we need to go back in time.
All right, I'm going to ask you a series of questions. Just relax and answer them as simply as you can.
Chemical Company, Plastics Division, presents the Monsanto House of the Future.
The year is 1957, and the Monsanto House of the Future has just opened in Disneyland, California. It's essentially a walk-through exhibition, claiming to show visitors a house from the year 1986. Everything inside is sleek and ultra-modern. People love it.
Would I like it? What a dream. Imagine how wonderful it would be to live in a house like this. Just imagine. I'd be getting dinner in this kitchen.
The Monsanto House gets nearly 500,000 visitors within 6 weeks of opening. It's incredible. But the house is not just entertainment. It's a house-sized advertisement for plastics. Monsanto was an agrochemical company that was in the business of manufacturing insecticides, such as DDT. It had teamed up with MIT and Disney on a project that was meant to ignite the nation's interest in plastics as the ultimate building material. And everything in the Monsanto House of the Future was made out of plastic, everything from the building itself to the silverware. So as you know, living in the future, the all-plastic house never really took off. But the Monsanto exhibit did help to normalize the idea of plastics in everything. It made plastics cool, because plastics were the future. But beyond plastics, the design choices of the Monsanto House had a profound impact in how people were beginning to visualize the future. The microwave and flat-screen TV were no longer props from a science fiction movie, but desirable commodities that every American family wanted in their home. The white, minimalist aesthetic of the house left an undeniable impact on futuristic design that continues to this day. And this is intriguing because the Monsanto house was never billed as fiction. It was billed as the inevitable. The Monsanto house of the future proved just how successful the future could be in the large-scale manipulation of public desire and opinion. Ever since, science fictional aspects have been utilized as an effective way not only to sell product, but to enact widespread cultural change. In the last century, advertisers have been increasingly depicting future spaces, similarly to that of a sci-fi novel. But here's the important distinction. Whereas science fiction presents itself as fiction, the utopia of, say, a car commercial would more or less like to obscure its fictional aspects. By positing the future as this predetermined space, advertisements are being used as pretty convenient vessels for this advertised world to actually come into being. In the decades since the Monsanto house, a consistent vision of the future has come into being from advertisements. This vision is probably one you're familiar with. It's overpoweringly sleek, clean, and minimal. The commercials that present this utopia for a price, they're intended to promote the fantasy that one product can singularly transform our lifestyles and perhaps our world. We can see this quite clearly in the modern car commercial, a space coming apart at its seams in futurism and seeped in this clean, minimal aesthetic. The following car commercial is trying to sell you a new car that looks so shiny that you cannot imagine it full of the junk that will accumulate in every car you will ever own.
Something new has arrived, lighting the path and leading the way.
If you'd like to see this 2017 Audi commercial for yourself, head over to our Facebook page because I'll have all the commercials that I talk about today posted there. So when you watch the Audi ad, you'll see clean blue, silver, and gray tones, nothing less than the established aesthetic of the future. I'm assuming that this color scheme is familiar to you and actually evokes a sense of futurism. But why do these blue and silvery tones represent the future? It's not necessarily true that the real future will appear in these tones. The future is in no way destined to be sleek or minimal. It's not destined to look any sort of way at all. But through watching advertisements, we're being programmed to think differently. I like the science fiction scholar John Reeder's definition of the advertisement as a, quote, utopian anticipation of a world of fulfilled desires. The word anticipation is key here. The fact that these depictions are fictional gets blurred as audiences have been convinced that the future is a place that is somehow pre-established and predestined to appear in a certain way. Not all future-oriented commercials present a vision of inevitable utopia. What about commercials that warn of an inevitable dystopia? Well, those can also create a self-fulfilling prophecy of the future. The most famous use of science fiction in advertising is without a doubt Apple's 1984 commercial. The ad was born out of Apple's rivalry with IBM in the early 80s, which has a long and complex history. But in 1981, IBM was actually a late entry into the personal computer market. Apple at that time was so well established in the computer market that it took out a full-page advertisement with a gracious headline, "Welcome, IBM. Seriously." But Apple was scared, and their fears weren't totally unfounded. By 1983, IBM had nearly captured half the market. At this moment in time, Apple needed to be more than just a corporation. It needed to have a message.
It is now 1984. It appears IBM wants it all.
This is Steve Jobs speaking to shareholders at a 1983 Apple keynote.
Apple is perceived to be the only hope to offer IBM a run for its money. Dealers initially welcoming IBM with open arms now fear an IBM-dominated and controlled future. They are increasingly and desperately turning back to Apple as the only force that can ensure their future freedom.
Here, just before announcing the new Ridley Scott-directed dystopian commercial for the Macintosh, Jobs takes pains to portray the real computer industry as a bleak, violent dystopia.
IBM wants it all and is aiming its guns on its last obstacle to industry control, Apple. Will Big Blue dominate the entire computer industry? The entire information age? Was George Orwell right about 1984?
Then Jobs shows the ad, which posits a dreary future in which IBM has achieved a monopoly over computer products. The ad is complete with a Big Brother figure and this drab drone-like citizenry with shaved heads. The ad is a perfect picture of dystopia, until a female runner wearing an Apple logo tank top hurls a hammer into the image, destroying corporate uniformity and reintroducing individuality. The ad was a huge hit, and so was the computer. But the creators of the ad soon distanced themselves from any responsibility for the effect of the advertisement, perhaps because Apple was later dangerously close to becoming the boogeyman of its own fantasy. Art director Brent Thomas said that Apple, quote, set out to smash that old canard that the computer would enslave us. We did not say that the computer would set us free. I have no idea how it will work out. This was strictly a marketing position. End quote. From the Monsanto house in the 50s to Apple in the 80s, advertisers have long attempted to distract attention that their future visions are fictional. It's a simple message to claim that a corporation can lead us straight into utopia or rescue us from impending dystopia. But messages like these aren't always in line with a corporate message. Maybe that dystopia has already arrived. And our world today is arguably one of significant corporate and governmental control, one that science fiction has long warned of. But advertisers cannot let science fiction go. Many recent advertisers have instead used aspects of the science fiction genre in order to normalize our present. So what happens when science fiction is used to flat out justify a world of rampant consumerism, rather than to question it? While I was researching this topic in earnest, an essay by David Higgins called American Science Fiction After 9/11 turned me onto a pretty interesting timeline of how American science fiction as a whole shifted away from anti-capitalistic themes after 9/11, as the American way of life was seen as under assault. Okay, here's a particularly potent example of this, in case you aren't convinced. You all know The Matrix, a film about an office drone choosing the red pill and escaping from corporate monotony. It was released in 1999, alongside a slew of other films which encouraged audiences to question their reality. Other films were Existence and The 13th Floor. By 2014, Lawrence Fishburne, aka Morpheus, was in this commercial, one of a dozen or so he made, selling Kia cars.
Let me tell you why you're here. It is the world of luxury that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
We just want to get our car.
Take the blue key, you go back to the luxury you know. You take the red key, and you'll never look at luxury the same again.
In the ad, Fishburne is in costume as Morpheus, acting as a guru valet to an attractive couple. He essentially offers them the classic choice of red versus blue, but here it's the choice between a false sense of luxury or the truly luxurious commodity. When the man expresses disbelief at just how luxurious luxury can be, Morpheus regurgitates additional soundbites from the film.
This is unreal.
No, it's very real. This is what luxury looks like.
This is what it feels like.
And that's not all. In 2013, Hugo Weaving, aka Agent Smith, the terrifying symbol of omnipresent technology, appeared in costume for a GE advertisement to tout his approval of the eerie levels of interconnectedness that GE could provide. I'll put a clip of that up on Facebook. Now, it's pretty obvious, to me at least, that this is not at all the message of The Matrix. The Matrix called on us to wake up from the present we are being sold. Whereas these advertisements are blatant attempts to normalize that. As normalizing goes, these advertisements are pretty bad. But no advertisement has ever pursued this goal, like the United States Air Force's marketing campaign called It's Not Science Fiction, It's What We Do Every Day. Let's take a listen at a very short clip.
We can see the license plate of a car from 50,000 feet above. We can be anywhere in the world in 30 minutes, traveling at twice the speed of sound. We have hospitals in the sky. We build, launch, and command satellites. We battle 3 million cyber threats a day.
It's safe to say that this advertisement is on a totally different wavelength than the Monsanto house. While other ads are attempting to create the future, the Air Force's message is, the future is already here. Get used to it. That's primary goal, is to recruit potential Air Force enlistees by instilling them with a sense of pride in their country and excitement for the future. If you're not a potential enlistee, the ad might still have a positive effect on you by providing you with a sense of security. Well, that is if you live in the United States. You know what they say. One country's utopia is another country's dystopian nightmare. The Air Force's commercial is particularly fascinating to me because of how directly it acknowledges the debt of its imagery to science fiction. But it only does so in order to deny any relationship by saying it's not science fiction. And the Air Force is right. It's not science fiction. It seems that here the Air Force is defining science fiction as elements of a hypothetical future in montage. But a collection of impressive military technologies doesn't make science fiction. Science fiction is more than just the sum of its visuals. It explores the consequences of technology and the problems of unequal access to the future. In fact, this advertisement is attempting to normalize that which science fiction usually takes a stance against, such as the excessive militarization of governments, increased surveillance, and power in the hands of a few. The US Air Force can't keep these things a secret, so it's choosing to rather control the message by putting it out there disguised as the realization of a youth's sci-fi dream. It's clear to me that science fiction and advertisements are two potentially manipulative art forms that together create a powerful combination. This marriage has been used to control the message of the future, like the Monsanto house creating the inevitability of plastics in everything. It's been used to control the message of the present, like the US Air Force's proud declaration that their surveillance abilities have become the realm of a science fiction movie. We should be wary of these advertisements. we should be more critical of the future that we are being sold every single day. It might be helpful to think about what the future is. Is it the luxury of a Kia car? Is it a flat screen TV? Is it a silvery blue space with skyscrapers and infinite wealth? It's a scarier thought that the future might not be decided at all. The murkiness and uncertainty of what's to come can be paralyzing. We like to pass this burden off to somebody else. Now, I'm not saying you can just grab the reins of this whole operation and change everything. But you can do as Morpheus suggests. You can free your mind. Listening to this episode of Novum. I might have mentioned it briefly, but there's a sister episode to this one already up on iTunes and the podcast page that explores advertisements in science fiction novels and film. They work really well together, so go check that one out. I would love to hear from you. You can like us on Facebook, you can shoot me an email at novumpodcast@gmail.com, and you can leave the show a review on iTunes. I would really appreciate any of those. This episode was produced and written by me, Ari Brin, and our original music is by Christopher McIntyre. I hope to see you on the next episode of Novum.